Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help! Hello, everyone, and welcome to what we promise will be another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Glad you're with us tonight. Bill Arnold here with George Fraser. People that don't know us wish they did. People that do know us wish they didn't. So it all kind of balances out, doesn't it, George?
It does. You know, yeah. It really does.
Yeah, it's kind of a zero-sum game.
We're kind of stuck there, though, because we do know us, and we can't unknow us.
That's
and
true.
We can't stop being us. So.
That's true. So, George, when you're in charge, when you think you're in charge of your life, and you think you're in control of everything, people like that are really out of control, aren't they? Because if you think you're in control, that's probably a good indicator that you're close to being out of control. Because when you feel desperate is when you really realize how human you are. I've been observing that in your life lately.
I realize in my life that, you know, for being such a control freak, and I know you're not.
Because you're just so easy going.
I control absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yep, and when you realize you're vulnerable, that's when you realize you're mortal. That's when it can lead us beautifully into step one that we're going to talk about before we bring our guest on, Dale Stinson, who's here in studio, and we'll bring him on time permitting.
Well, if we can, you know, if we have time,
because
sometimes we get rolling.
Thank you.
And it's so good.
Yes, usually I have to be the one to say that every week. I'm the one that says it every week, so thank you for saying it this week.
Well, you know, it's just true, and I'm here to speak the truth.
I'm going to take a sip of water now.
It hasn't happened a long time where we didn't get the guest on. I think the last time it happened was when the guest didn't show up, and it was Dr. Glenn Pickering. Not that I hold on to that resentment,
no, of course you don't.
Glenn.
Of course you don't. He's not listening. Don't worry.
I worked way through it. The step tonight is step one, and we wanted to
talk about... Can I do a little scripture before we jump into step one?
You bet.
Okay. I've got a couple of... Psalms I want to share, and one is from Psalm 105, verse 4, that says, keep your eyes open for God. Watch for his works. Be alert for signs of his presence. Be alert for signs of his presence.
You always talk about that, and it's a Bill Arnold translation about looking for godly appointments, people that come into your life on a daily basis, that there's no accidents, that everybody you meet's important. If God is sovereign, then everything we do is important.
Nothing is inconsequential in God's economy. So let's keep our radar up so we can watch for his work and be alert for signs of his presence.
Keep your radar up and look
exactly.
for things.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll talk about that comment later. Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Love that.
I do too.
What psalm was that?
Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Because if you are in addiction of any kind, and you know that your heart and your flesh may fail, but God is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. So we're going to put our emphasis tonight on that. You know, sometimes in recovery, you can talk more about the sin than the Savior. And I know in Real Recovery, we like to talk about the Savior more than the sin.
Yeah, we want to talk about the solution and not the problem. And usually the reason we talk more about the problem is we like talking about us, Bill.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Let's talk about me some more.
By the way, I got
a video out that we're going to put up me on the website. Can we get that? It was actually well done. There's music in the background. We could have used some makeup and a little color in the hair.
That doesn't matter. The video is outstanding.
Well, except
up
for
until
the part
last. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you do the really goofy look to the camera
it's so hideously embarrassing. It is, even for me. Hideously embarrassing.
But that should make people want to watch and see the video. We'll try to get it up on the web. I don't know if we can do that tonight, Alex, or maybe not.
I'm going to wait 2 weeks like you did on our last show.
Not holding grudges or anything,
no,
right?
No.
David Carlson, if you're listening, I'm working on it.
Don't worry. We'll get you taken care of.
Good to have you back, Alex, and it's good to be back in the studio with you, Bill. I want to talk about step one here, where we admit we're powerless over alcohol, drugs, and our life's unmanageable. But we want to take that a step farther than the traditional 12-step rooms. We're powerless over everything. My next breath comes at the mercy of an all-sovereign God, And the unmanageability part in the second part of the step is really that every time I get upset at something, I'm saying God isn't doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can get upset when I watch ISIS or things like that on the news, but I have to say God allowed this for some reason and turn that over. And what that does for me, Bill, is keeps me out of that justified anger and the resentments. I go, okay, I don't like this. I don't know who would, but God allowed it. And maybe what man meant for evil, God allowed for good, like in Joseph's story.
Mm-hmm.
What we're really looking at here is we don't have that power of anything. And we say that, you know, I'm a control freak. Well, I get sick this year and all of a sudden I can do whatever I want to do and it's not going to change. God is in control. We look at Psalm 139. He has numbered our days while we're in the womb. Can't do anything about it. But here's the great thing. When you work through whatever you're going through, maybe it's an illness or an illness and an addiction or a loss or something you just can't stop doing, an activity that you shouldn't be doing, you realize I'm gonna stop trying to do the effort here and be obedient to what God wants me to do because God is in control and I control nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at James, the book of James. Don't say you're going to do this tomorrow. Your life is but a vapor. Say you're going to do it if the Lord wills it. And I take great comfort in that. It takes a lot of pressure off us, Bill. Maybe part of the reason anxiety is such a problem in our world today is we're trying to do things we're not capable or we're designed to do. We're trying to do God's job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let God be God and we'll do our thing.
All right, George, I want to ask you this question. And
did you even listen to it?
No, I didn't because okay. I was trying to busy thinking of what I was going to say next.
Okay,
so I
wasn't
listening.
That.
Practice what?
What you were going to say next. Kind of stumbled on it.
Well, you kind of caught, you kind of caught me in a little bit of a gray area there. Because
you got your lucky jacket
on. I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening.
Where did you get the members only jacket?
At the members only shop.
I just stepped on it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right, I'm just trying to say when we think of saying yes to God, and we're going to talk about that in step one, right?
Okay.
The feeling of we've reached a point of desperation, right?
You bet.
Okay, so let me say this, George. If you're saying yes to God and to the existence of God, are you saying yes to a God who is more or less made in the image of people that have hurt us or disappointed us? Versus the true God, and so we've actually, in a way, created a false God and looking towards the God we've created based on people who have hurt us and disappointed us. Is that
wow.
too deep?
I don't even think Piper could have made it that complicated. How about instead of hurt us and disappoint us, do we have a God that says no to us rather than being an extension of ourselves? Or maybe are you assuming, like, a parent that was harsh or a priest or a minister that we had a bad experience and we associate God with that?
Yes, we create a God because we start off by...
We create a God. That's it right
yes,
there.
Yes, we create a God. So we're praying more or less to false gods because we don't understand the true God because it's a conglomerate. We've gone through the buffet line and created a God that's going to meet our emotional needs.
Okay.
Quit looking at me that way.
I'm sorry.
Seriously, you're sneering at me. I don't like it.
No,
you're like Billy Idol sneering at me. I don't like that.
I don't have the steel stuff. I should do that. What I think that is, and I think you're exactly right if I can figure out what you're trying to say. I don't know if I can. But if our God is an extension of ourselves, we're really worshiping ourselves.
Yes.
And that's what got us in here in the first place. And I think, you know, as you always say, the guys that we work with down at the Salvation Army, tell me about your God. And they do, and you go, I wouldn't worship a God, that kind of God either. That's
right.
Not God.
Right.
Where do you get your information about God is what you always say. And I think anything outside of the Bible, there's a danger that we've created our own God rather than God created us. And you always say, Bill, and I love this, I need a God that says no to me.
Mm-hmm. And what about the idolatrous attachments in our lives?
Oh, gosh.
That we need to start saying no to. And because I think we're afraid that, obviously, these attachments are really powerful. And we're afraid, I think, that if we don't worship the true God, he's gonna punish us and not help us. And that's scary.
Well, the false gods and what we use, the idols, are our solution right now. So what you're asking me to do when I come into a program where I'm supposed to quit drinking or quit gambling or whatever, stop a behavior, you're telling me I need to give up the solution. That's the only thing that's working.
Right.
And trust your God that I don't really know about. And my experience of my God, I don't like him. He hasn't helped me at all, and he's mad at me, mm-hmm. and he wants to punish me.
Mm-hmm. It's like an angry boss.
Yes.
This isn't going to work.
Right.
You've got wrong information about God, so no wonder you don't want to surrender your life to him. But
well,
step one says you've reached a point where you have to.
I've heard you talk to guys at the Army where you get that across in a really great way, and you join the client by saying, hey, I wouldn't worship that God either.
Right.
Let's look at who God is. God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is it. And in step one, what we're, you know, you talked about the gift of desperation. Am I willing to do this? What I want to say is, do I stay as willing as I am in my 32nd year of recovery as I was when I walked through the doors the first time?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that's yes. And if you're listening today and you want to give yourself that test, it's a good one. Are you as desperate to know God and be obedient as you were when you first got into recovery or your walk? And look at what you're doing, not what you're saying. Did you go to church today? Did you do your Bible study? Did you pray? Do you go to God first thing in the morning? And usually people do. I know you do first thing.
Oh, I'm desperate in
you
the
know,
morning.
I'm sure
I'm desperate.
When we get Dale on here, I pray.
Time permitting.
Well, yeah, if we have time.
Yeah.
But I don't get out of bed without, you know, help me stay sober today and help me get my health back because I don't want to go out there by myself.
It's good wisdom, George. That's why we pay you the small dollars.
I'm worth every penny.
Yes, you are. All right, folks, thanks for listening tonight. We're going to take a small break, and we're going to come back and have some more snappy banter. And if that runs dry, we'll bring on Dale.
Pretty
thanks
quickly,
for being with us.
I'm
thinking. Yeah. All right, sounds good. Be back in a minute. We are back. Thanks for being with us. We're so glad you're with us. George, you got your dog back after your dog was at winter camp for 2 months for training. Is he any more obedient?
The first week was good. No, he's back to being he's back to being Bob.
He's a monster, isn't he?
Oh, he's worse than I was.
Yeah.
And he's sober. Well, maybe he isn't.
Do you know that for a fact?
No, I don't.
Yep. Who knows what kind of habits he
you
was.
You know, that kind of behavior is, yeah.
He went to summer camp, and didn't he go over to the girl's side one night?
He
got
and
in
a
trouble,
buddy took a canoe and went across the lake.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know. Yeah. I was actually kind of proud.
I figured. You know. All right. Let's get back to the show. We've
Scary
discussed.
Thing is, I actually believe that. So, yeah.
We've discussed step one, and now we're going to bring on our in-studio guest, Dale Stinson. We're glad he's with us tonight.
We are glad. And I met Dale. Dale is the program director at Redemption House. And John Leonard started Redemption House. We've had John on the show.
We
He's
have
a friend
had John
of ours.
On the show.
And it's a Christian rehabilitation center right outside of Minneapolis. It's residential. It's long-term. And it's biblically based. And it's very solid. And, Bill, we go to a lot of places. I've gone to a lot of places to work with guys. And I told you, I enjoy going there because almost every guy in there knows his Bible really well.
Mm-hmm.
And the group that I run is like 8 to 10 guys in it, and it goes over 2 hours, and it's lively.
Wow.
And I'm worn out after I do it. And a lot of that is
you're
the
old.
Well, there's that,
yeah.
You know, and dying. We'll be dying.
He's talking about himself.
No, look at that. Oh,
we haven't brought
this.
You on yet.
Yeah.
We haven't brought you on yet.
You can't talk yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to milk this. Make sure you watch the video. It's up there. But
you mean the George Fraser video?
I know.
That'll
the,
be posted up on the webpage?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Except that dumb part where I come around like Kevin Nealon.
That's
on
so embarrassing.
Live.
That
is
that
embarrassing.
Is so embarrassing.
Even
you'll
by my
know,
standards.
If you watch the video, you will know the moment we're talking about. There's
it is
no question.
Embarrassing. Don't
right.
send any letters. But anyway, I know these guys have a good foundation. And I asked Dale, would you do the show? Because I don't have much interaction with him. But in the months that I had, the guy's really solid. I really like him. And he knows about God. And he communicates to the men about God, and he loves the guys, Bill. And I always look at that.
Mm-hmm.
We look at Johnny Hunter and people we have on here. He loves the guys.
Yeah.
He's tough, but he loves the guys, and that's great. Bill, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm really glad to be here.
He's already got his Bible open, so that's always a good sign.
Why does he have his car keys in his hand?
I don't know that. Why is his car
running?
I got
my shoes tied, my car keys in my hand, just in case I need to run out of here real quick.
Get out of here quick, and he's got that great southern voice. So
where are you from?
Franklin, Tennessee, which is just south of Nashville.
So. Yeah, I know where Franklin is. I've been to Franklin.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah.
They have a prison there?
No, they don't.
No, you go down to prisons.
I do. I've been at 80 prisons across the country. Many as a volunteer.
Yeah. So, I don't know where to go with that.
Why don't you ask Dale, our guest, a question, George?
I had one until
as a
you
co-host
said that. That was
Real Recovery.
Funny. Yeah. So, you grew up in Franklin, Tennessee?
Yeah, well, I was born in Oklahoma, nowhere. And then we moved to Louisiana, and then we moved to Tennessee, and I basically grew up a Tennessee boy.
So. Now, I'm going to assume your family was Christian. Is that fair?
No, my family went to church a few times. I think when my grandfather died, we kind of pulled back a little bit. I wouldn't say I grew up in a Christian home. Praise God. You know, my father now is a believer and real solid in his faith. I think he always was. I think there was a real struggle after my grandfather's death that really had took a big toll on him. So we kind of pulled away from church for a long time. And then as a teenager, you know, I got into the hippie scene, you know, into all the grunge music. That's how old I am. You know, I'm just a little bit younger than you are.
That's the stuff you listen to, right, Alex?
I love it.
You listen to grunge?
So, yeah.
Okay. I didn't think so.
I was more like a hippie kid, so did a lot of pot and a lot of acid and things like that and drank at a lot of parties, and I was just a party kid.
Any consequences for you in high school?
Just making a fool of myself most of the time. I never got caught. All my buddies got caught, but I never really got caught. I was too slick, I guess. More like a ninja, I guess.
So you get out of high school. What did you do after high school?
After high school, well, I married my high school sweetheart, Amy, and it was funny because the pastor who did our premarital counseling, he is the man that led me to Christ, you know, and he loved me, man. I can remember he kind of knew I was a troublemaker. He knew I was all about shenanigans, but he did our premarital counseling, and I was just kind of like going with, oh yeah, I like Jesus kind of thing. But he was persistent and he loved me, and I was like, man, if that's what a Christian looks like, that's what I want to be. And his name was Brother Bob Norman. He's with Jesus right now, but he had a huge impact on my life. He led me to the Lord. And
how neat.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
You go for counseling because you're going to get married, and you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you wind up getting saved.
Yeah.
Was Amy a Christian before?
She was. She had gone to church all her life. It was always kind of a cultural Christian thing, and that's how her family was. And, you know, I went to church because I wanted to be where she was, so that's what I did.
So we have a happy story here. He becomes a Christian. He gets married, and I bet you rolled right into the ministry right after that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was totally – no, that's not it at all. Okay. Actually, you know, in March of 98, we got married in 96, and then for 2 years, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I believe this thing. And then in March 98, there was one service where I was just like, hey, I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe this. And that was a real powerful moment, but I still had all this life – it was drug use, you know, all the hippie drugs when I was a teenager. And then I really got into drinking and cocaine when I was in my 20s. And then, you know, I had left my music composition degree at Belmont, and I went into the wine and spirits industry. And I was pretty knowledgeable about wine. And then they gave me this amazing, prestigious job. So I had a lot of money, a lot of perks, and a heart that was wayward. You know, I said I believed in Jesus, but I was still using a lot. So
you had a double life going.
I had a very duplicitous life, that's for sure. Yeah.
Duplicitous. I like that.
Yeah, I'll look it up after the show. So, Dale, when you say you worked for a wine and spirits company?
Yeah, a distributor.
Okay, so you have access to all kinds of fine wines as well.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
get to go and take samples and sample and have access to all kinds of product,
so
to speak.
It was
okay.
A lot of samples.
Sounds like a great job, doesn't it, Bill? You know, you might need somebody to drive for you occasionally, but so, and you are rewarded by making more money, and gosh, you got it rolling.
No, I was rolling. We didn't save any of the money I made either. That's the tragic thing, but you know, I'd lived this life for so long. I was so duplicitous. I would mourn on Sundays after we went to church, just be real grieved. And I would be like, you know, something's got to change in my life. And that didn't happen for like 7 years until the Lord kind of broke me. And I was going to lose my wife. I was going to lose my oldest two boys. They're little bitty things. And I'm like, man, everything's on the table. And the Lord just kind of broke me one night. And I was just like, okay, what's true about my life? I say this on Sundays, but the rest of my life is just crazy. And so what am I going to do? What am I going to believe? And that's when the Lord just kind of reached in and got a big hold on my heart. And it's pretty powerful, man.
I want to hear more about that.
What did you do then? Okay, he broke you or allowed you to...
It's a beautiful expression, God got a hold of my heart. But tell me more about that. Break that down.
Well, I had kind of had this tragic moment where I was most of the time I was a happy drunk, kind of liked to party, but every once in a while I turn into Hulk, and get real angry. And a lot of that come from a long period of my life where I'd struggled with like pornography. And so I was always covering up that guilt and shame from that by using more because it's just easy. I can numb myself and I don't have to worry about feeling that way. And so I'd had a lot of that happen in childhood. It started when I was 10, and a lot of that happened in childhood. And I just kept trying to numb it the best I can. And every once in a while, that anger would be a result of the way I felt, just like I couldn't be free of this feeling that I'm broken and dirty and unclean, and you look through the scriptures, you see a lot where it talks about what's unclean, what God makes clean. And not only does it make it clean, but then he says, holy unto the Lord. And what a beautiful expression of what the Lord does in our brokenness. The Lord just reached in and got a hold of my heart and said, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to believe? Are you going to follow me or are you going to continue to live this way? And I just saw it as, okay, I have a choice to make here. And that's that desperation. And all of a sudden I became desperate. It was more than, hey, I'm going to lose my wife and my little boys. It was, who am I really? Mm. Who am I? So that's kind of the experience.
Feel fully exposed, didn't you?
I was naked and exposed before the Lord
that's
Almighty.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, very scary.
So what did you do to walk that out?
Well, at that point in my life, we had been going to church, but I didn't really have any relationships. And so the only thing I knew to do was I took this book and I just started reading. And I never really read it before. But it's like on every page, this fist reached up from the page and punched me in the throat, right? And the Lord was like, here you are. Here I am. Look at my goodness. Look at my love for you. Look at who you are. You're broken. You're just like these people. You have the same heart condition as these people. So what are you going to do? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to follow the world?
Wow.
And
you stuck with it.
Shortly thereafter, God sent a man into my life to disciple me, an older man. He had been a missionary in Argentina. And he just continued to disciple me, and I got real hungry to then disciple other people.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear lots more of Dale's story. You're listening to Real Recovery. We're so glad you joined us tonight. Thanks for being here. We'll be back in a minute. All right, we have Dale in studio, and I love the reference, George, that he made to Incredible Hulk, because, that's something I say to you almost every week. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah.
Remember David Banner? That would always be the thing he'd say?
He'd grin. He was like your jacket.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Let's resume.
This is very
let's
interesting
Let's resume productivity.
To me. Yeah, this is really interesting because he's reading the book and doing what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat. So you meet this guy. What was the guy's name again?
His name is Chris Turner. He was a IMB missionary in Argentina for a long time, and then he happened to be at our church, and he and I just got connected, and I started just sharing with him when I was reading. He was like, oh, that's good. That's good. Here, you ought to read this guy. One of the books he slid across the table was Desiring God by John Piper, obviously. But we just had this relationship, and, man, he nurtured my faith, and we would have these talks, and I would say, okay, I read this. What do you think about this? Is this what this means? Okay, then I need to do that. I need to live what this says, and that's kind of how my life became what it is now. So, not really exciting, but that's just what I'm trying to do, you know.
Or did you join a Bible study group or just
we got real involved in church, and I was still, you know, I still worked for a distributor for like almost 8 months after this happened, and I was just really kind of starting to minister to people around me and just saying, hey, you know, the Lord's doing this in my life, and I feel like you're hurting, and I want to talk to you about it. And so we'd start talking. I just really, that's when the Lord really started really cultivating my shepherd's heart. So,
did you quit drinking yourself?
Yep.
Or? Okay, so that's a big change.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're thinking about other people instead of yourself, and your life has changed completely.
Yeah.
How long, you kept the job for 8 months?
Yeah, like 8 months, and then
were you conflicted with that, selling liquor and?
You know, I was a little bit, but I think the biggest thing, I was conflicted with the lifestyle of the whole thing, because in that world, it's just a little different. You know, it's just morals are not something that a lot of that crowd lives by. I'm not saying that everybody out there who is a distributor right now that you've got some immoral living, but that's where I was with this particular group of people.
Well, does it bring you in contact here? Are you in bars a lot? Or are you in, you know?
In bars a lot, at restaurants a lot, with tons of people, and it's all about who you know. It's about your sales. It's about, you know, that prestigious life that's really fleeting. It's really, you know, you try to be the man, you try to be in control, and that's really not what we were made to be, you know?
Was it hard to walk away from that?
No, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to walk away from that at all, because I knew exactly what God wanted me to do. You know, one day I was sitting in my chair, I was reading the Word, and I was like, okay, Lord, you can just have me. I don't know what to do here. You can just have me. And it became real clear that, you know, He wanted me to go back to school, finish my undergrad degree, and I switched it to ministry, and then I ended up going to seminary, and then I started pastoring. I mean, it's just a crazy story.
Okay, let's roll that back.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Well, it's pretty interesting. All of a sudden, God, you can do with me whatever you want. What do you want me to do? And you got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You went back to college. Mm-hmm. Now, you got kids at this time.
Yeah, I had little boys.
So were you working part-time, too, or were you able to just go back? And?
Well, amazingly, at the same time, my wife, her job changed a little bit, and she was she's a speech-language pathologist by training, by school. And so she got more clients, and at the same time, a job opened up for her at the church, and it basically covered what I was making.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. So then I became Mr. Mom, and I did my Michael Keaton impression for a little bit. And,
yeah.
And that was terrifying, by the way. Moms have the hardest job in the world, and I was terrible at it. So,
but in your free time, you're either at the gym or the gun range, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I was just reading the Word, reading, doing my studies as much as I could, and looking for opportunities to help.
Where did you go to seminary?
Southern and Louisville.
Okay.
So I got my MDiv with an emphasis in biblical counseling at Southern Seminary.
Now, how long ago was that?
I got that degree in December of 11, so I finished. So I was an older seminary student. Got called
later.
That's
not where I was going. We don't do an age thing in this studio anymore, do we, Bill?
No, not anymore.
We used to, though. You know, we used to when we were younger. So right away after school, where did God take you?
Well, I ended up working at the Nashville Rescue. I worked at our church in the pastoral ministry office, working with, you know, some couples and doing some biblical counseling there, just real informal shepherding. And then I got called, as I was finished up seminary, to work at the Nashville Rescue Mission in their life recovery program. And basically, they were in a process of changing the direction of the program from a very integrated secular style to a very heart-focused biblical counseling model. And somehow they heard about me, and they asked me to come on board, and I just loved it. And then I was working with guys who, you know, it's like everybody had given up on these guys. And so they're coming into our program. They've either been homeless or they're about to be homeless. And I worked there for 4 years before coming up here.
Did you have fractured family relationships, either on your side of the family or your wife's side of the family, that because of what happened with your drug and alcohol use, that needed repair and amends that had to be made?
Yeah, I had, my wife and I had some big stuff to work through. And I wish she was here. She tells it way cooler than
she's
I do.
She's going to be on next week.
Okay, so I'll just let her
we
know.
Just booked her.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. What's her first name?
Amy.
Yeah, Amy.
Yeah.
Get nervous.
She will be.
Yeah.
Her and I had a lot of things to work through because it's like, okay, what's going on? She has no idea this secret life is really going on. She sees it bleeding into our lives, and it freaks out. You know, it freaks her out. With her parents, her mom and her dad just didn't know who I was. You know, no one really knew who I was. And, you know, what's interesting in my history, my mom and I had a lot of struggles. She had a lot of issues that I'm still not even aware of. She passed in 11. So there was some fracturing, and a lot of that just became me just being dead to rights. You know, I know I've done all these things, and I can't say anything that except own it, you know, mm-hmm. and seek your forgiveness. Because that's what the scripture tells me to do, right? Is to mm-hmm. go and to seek forgiveness. And, you know, I've lost trust. You know, I've broken up this stable picture that we had, and it's not as stable as it was thought. And now I've just got to live very openly and vulnerably and in humility. So,
interesting. And it's a great question that you're doing your stuff along with helping other people. And we do that. We have to live our own life, too.
Sure.
You want to have a good boundary there, but you got to take care of what you're doing if you're going to help somebody else, because you can't give away what you don't have.
Yeah.
What I'm really curious about, the biblical counseling approach versus a secular
sure.
approach. Can you explain that a little bit for our listeners and for me?
Well, yeah, the basis for this approach is that, you know, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, you know, 3 talks about that. He's given us what we need to learn how to live a life in a way that pleases him and live, really have a life full of joy just by following his word. I mean, because he has said something and given to his people the remedy, right? That's the thing. It's his redemption through Jesus Christ, you know, restoring us to the Father's love. Because God loves us. That's why he sent his son into the world, you know, because for God so loved the world in this way that he sent his one and only son. So there's principles and applications of the scripture that it knows us so well. You know, the word of God is living and active. We read in Hebrews 4:12, right? It's living and active. And what does it do? It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, right? And it judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the inner person, who I really am. That soul, that's what the Word of God knows. And when you look through Scripture, you can see, I mean, you can see us all over the page. I think someone out there right now, when you think about in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, there's this moment where all of the crowd of Israel, they have this strong craving, it says in verse 4. They have this strong craving. And what are they craving? They're craving meat, they're craving some leeks, they're craving the onions that they had back in Egypt. But what's Egypt? Egypt is where they were in slavery. And isn't that our story, like in addiction? Like all of a sudden we're like, oh man, this is too hard. There's too much pressure here. Wait, I know how to fix that. I can go back to this. But we forget all the negative scenarios and consequences of that addiction, that drug or that drink that we ran to. And all we're thinking about, oh, it was fun. It covered things up. It was good for me. But yet we're going to run right back into slavery. Mm. And so biblical counseling, one of the things we're doing is we're looking at, okay, what are the motivations of the heart? The fruit on the tree is drug or alcohol addiction, right? That's what's going on. But there's something in your heart. There's some motivations there. It started off where it was fun, but now it's become something you're pursuing. It's idolatrous, right? And so you're pursuing that now. What's the reason why? That's what we want to get to.
So you're not looking at the symptoms. You're looking at the problem.
Yeah, we're trying to find a source.
Heart transplant.
We need a heart transplant. And praise God, Jesus gives us a new heart, right?
I love that. And that's why, Bill, we'll see a lot of guys that can maybe stop a behavior, but they haven't changed who they are. I think of like Christ. You don't pour new wine into old wineskins,
right,
which for an alcoholic is good. And Paul talks about mm-hmm. not only putting off the old, you got to put on the new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that. So how do you get guys to see, okay, you have a heart problem,
mm-hmm.
And this is why all your attempts before really haven't worked. Mm-hmm. How do you tie that together for them?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I can't get guys to see this. The Holy Spirit has to do that. But what I try to do is create an atmosphere and an environment and an engagement with the Scriptures and trying to work that out in biblical community where they'll see that, you know, where they'll see, okay, this is what the Word says, and they're immersed in Jesus and in who Jesus was, what he came to do. And we try to be real intentional about creating that kind of atmosphere, because if that kind of atmosphere is created, hopefully a climate is created, and then hopefully a culture is changed, right, in the guy's heart, but also in that community where he's at.
He's got a community. We always talk about that, Bill, how important that is. I'm wondering, are there any books that you use, any tapes you use that help guys along this way that you could share with our audience?
Oh, yeah. I think right now, I mean, Tim Keller, I mean, he's just – he really knows how to preach to the heart and how to really get after some of the things in our culture that we're after. He's got a real good sense and a real good assessment of what's going on in the human condition, and I think he's really great. We use his book, A Prodigal God, to have the guys go through. Mm-hmm. And also, he's got a good book, The Reason for God, is really great. His prayer book. I mean, all of his books are really great. I mean, it's Tim Keller. So.
Yeah.
But we start guys off when they come in, even if they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we start them off with this little book by Greg Gilbert called What is the Gospel? And it just walks back through the biblical presentation of the gospel message.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they go to this book. It's his companion to that called Who is Jesus? Just understanding who is our Lord, right? Because I'm convinced, like you said earlier, like we can just focus on the negative, we can focus on the sin, but man, I got to get my heart looking at the remedy. I got to figure out who the source. Because in that is what? There's power, right? We're talking about being powerless, but there's power in Jesus Christ. When you think about what Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's for everybody. And it's this power of God for salvation, right? And that's the remedy. And that's what we can be excited about, right? Because here's this thing. I know how broken my life is, how painful it is, how it's just easier for me to numb it, but yet I'm not satisfied and I need something satisfying. That's why I keep chasing all this junk. But yet here's this God who loves me. And he's looked on my hopeless condition, and he sent his son Jesus to restore me to his love and to transform my life.
Hmm.
That's an amazing story.
That's a great story.
I love that.
Talking to Dale Stinson, and his wife Amy is going to come on the show one of these days. So
next week.
She's got big shoes. No, we've got Dr. Mitch Brown on next week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got an amazing story.
Does Amy, I think.
I think Amy does, too. We're taking
well,
a break.
She's put up with me.
When we come back, one more segment with Dale. Thanks for being here. I know you're loving this episode because we are. Be back in a minute. All right, we are back with one last remaining segment. It
goes by so quick.
For you, maybe.
You know?
Not for Dale.
No, that's fine. It's come by pretty quick.
Has it?
I'm surprised. It's already, you know, 47 after.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah. Somewhere you got to be? Or
I got to get out of here.
You got to finish the show, yeah.
I can only take so much of George every week.
Oh, yeah. Well, welcome to my world.
Yeah. He does. He pops in
mind,
and then he
brother.
Leaves.
I love you.
I'm over
there.
Can we talk about what we were talking about on the break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we talked about, you know, we can easily just stop the behavior. You know, and I think we find this in a lot of recovery cultures. We stop the behavior, and then there's the dry drunk, you know, kind of attitude. People are real miserable. They're not happy. They're not enjoying things. And I think what's happened here is we cut that fruit off the tree. But you know what? We're going to replace it with something. You know, more fruit's going to change. And I think one of the things that we see even in Romans, as I'll go back there again, you know, in verse 25 of chapter 1. Paul, as he's giving this argument, is what's happened to us. He says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And one of the things is like our hearts shift because we're narcissistic, right? We're self-exalters. We want to be about us. And so if then my recovery becomes about me, of course I'm going to be miserable at some point because what I'm looking to replace my pursuit of, if it's no longer alcohol, my new pursuit is sobriety. I just got to keep on that, and I'm doing it all in my power, and I'm not leaning onto God's power. Then I'll be miserable eventually. I'll be angry. I'll be a not too fun person to hang out with. But if I'm pursuing Jesus, right, then all these other blessings come alongside that, because you know what, life, he came to give us life and life abundantly, right?
John 10:10.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he said he came to do. Not only that, he came to set the captives free. And man, I want to be free, right? I want to be free, right?
I love that. And a self-test here for a lot of us in recovery. If you're listening to this, here's how you might know you're guilty of this. If you say it's a selfish program and my program comes first, you need to look at what he just said.
Yeah.
Because it's not about you. It's about God.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is when you have your anniversary that God gave you, mm-hmm. and somebody asks you how you did it, you might want to say, I didn't do it. I didn't even want to do it. It came from God. And I think those are two self-tests for us, because yeah. we can take pride in our recovery, and that mm-hmm. becomes an idol because we did it. Fair?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's – we always default to talking about us. You know, it's always our picture on the wall. You know, that's what we were joking about earlier as we were talking in here. It's like we just – you know, we want to talk about us. We talk about putting your video on there. That's how we are.
Well, you didn't have to get personal. I mean, I talk about God
in the video. No, I enjoyed you getting personal. I thought that was very appropriate.
No, I talk about God a little bit.
Yeah, you do. You do. And yeah. I'm very thankful for you, man. I think that's what we do. We just – because we want this affiliation, we want this acceptance. And see, what we don't realize is God is providing that for us. He says all who received him, right, have the privilege and the right to become children of God. We're now in this family, and we are accepted, right? We are accepted based on his love for us, based on what Jesus has done, because Jesus is the one who lived the life we can't live and died the death we deserve, right? And he rose from the grave, saying that, hey, I'm
I'll follow
satisfied.
That one.
Yeah, follow
yeah,
it.
I'll follow him. The guy who rose from the dead walked out of the grave.
Yeah.
That's the one I'll follow.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because that's when the stamp and the seal was put down, like, it's finished, right? And then that grace enables me to walk out life, right? And I don't have to say yes to the cravings, and I have to run back to Egypt like they did, you know, Israel did. I don't have to do that. I can say no, because it says in Titus 2 that what is the grace that has appeared? What's it done? Well, what's it done is helped us to renounce ungodliness, right? And our worldly passions, and then trained us to live upright, godly lives in the present age. And that's what the grace has come to do, right, is to do that for us. So help us walk that out.
Not only do we not have to do it, we don't want to do it. If you're really walking with the Lord, you want to do it more and more. It's irresistible to you. But if you don't have that, Bill, you've just stopped a behavior. And you got to keep doing it to avoid the behavior. And this is so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you put restrictions on yourself to stop a behavior, it just makes that behavior all the more attractive.
Yeah, for sure.
You're right. It does. Mm-hmm. And the focus is still on that
mm-hmm.
rather than on Jesus.
Yep.
And I think once the guys that, you know, we work with, mm-hmm. all of us see that, and we see it in our own lives, nothing else is going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. So we waste a lot of time getting there, don't we?
Right, we do. Yeah, it's like Thomas Chalmers. He's an old guy. You can look that up. He wrote this, had this sermon, The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. And one of the things, that, basically the gist of it is like there has to be something more desirable for us, because then that expels all those other desires. And if we know this person who wants to, this God of the universe who's spoke the cosmos into existence, and he's saying, I want to have a personal relationship with you, I think that's worth pursuing. And I think if you're listening right now, I'm looking at the mission statement of the Faith Radio Network, and it says that the purpose of Northwestern Radio is to lead people to Christ and to nurture them in their spiritual growth through Christ-centered media. And you know what? I just want to invite you, if you're listening right now, you need to know Jesus, because he wants to know you. And he's probably been pursuing you already, if you'll think about it. He's probably already been pursuing you. And so would you just stop, take a moment, and just call out to him, reach out to him, because he wants to know you, right? and get in touch with somebody that knows the Lord and try to get discipled. Try to figure that out. Because it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Okay, that was really nice.
That was well done.
Well, I like done. That.
Yeah. I don't think you can follow that with humor, though.
It's, yeah,
you've
got to
leave,
oh, yeah,
leave
can.
An emotional moment.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we can wreck it real quick for you. Yeah, that's what we do.
But seriously, I think that's the welcome of the Lord. You know, he wants to have a relationship. In Isaiah 30, there's this part where they're trying to they've got this real Assyrian problem. And so Israel's trying to figure out, what do we do? What do we do? So they're trying to get on these horses and run back to Egypt. Again, they're running back to Egypt. This is Isaiah 30. And then it says, you can do all that, but the Lord waits to be gracious to you. He's waiting to be gracious. And he's waiting for us to, like, just turn to him. And when we think about being powerless, we got to have this state of desperation when we turn to the one who's got all the power, right? I want to be yep. hanging out with the guy that's got all the power. You know what I mean? And he does.
Can you say something to a person that's listening tonight that mm-hmm. was walking with the Lord and took a wrong turn and got deceived mm-hmm. and is feeling broken? And can you have some encouragement and advice for them to get back?
Just don't make us look bad.
Just don't.
We've already taken care of that, Bill. Yeah.
Let's see. I'll try not to. Right. Yeah,
just don't one up us.
No, I won't. I won't do that. I think that passage in Isaiah 30 that I was just talking about, I think that's really powerful. And I just want to share that with you because, like I said, Israel had a real problem. They had a real problem. They were trying to figure out what to do, and the Lord still called them children. And then he says, with all that going on, he says, therefore, in verse 18, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And so, you know, he's been waiting for you. And so why not go back to where you were, right? Go back to the fountain of living waters.
Love it. It's great.
It is great.
Yeah.
I want to have you back sometime and go more
don't
through.
Don't make any promises, George.
Well, it might be a couple years.
Yeah. We'll
sure.
have Amy.
I mean,
on.
We'll see what Amy has to say. Yeah.
But I never like you making promises on the air to people. I think it's wrong.
They're empty. You know that.
I know they're empty, but that's a fact.
Great show. Thank you.
It is.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
Great. I knew you'd be good. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, Psalm 31:7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction, and you knew the anguish of my soul. I think that's what Dale was just talking about. If you feel anguish, and you know from tonight that he does want to have a relationship with you, and he's reaching out to you, and he is involved in your life, whether you know it or not, and he is drawing you to himself. Listen to that. Listen to the calling that he has tonight. Maybe tonight is your day of salvation.
Absolutely. And don't be a narcissist. And if you want to check out my video on the website, it'll be up tonight.
Is it going to be up tonight, Alex?
Or that
video?
Stupid thing where I
turn
around.
Gosh.
You got to see
you'll
it.
You'll know the moment. When you watch the video, you'll know the moment we're talking about. It's
yep,
so painful.
I'm going to try and get it up tonight.
Okay.
So if not by tonight, tomorrow.
Or next
tomorrow
year.
Tomorrow by
or next,
or next
year.
Year.
Anytime is fine.
We'll see.
What about that show from like a month ago? That going tonight, too.
Thank you.
All right, we got to wrap things up. Thanks for listening to Real Recovery tonight. We hope we delivered another award-winning show.
No question.
No question. Dale, you've been a great guest. George, nice to be with you. Alex, as always.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you for being part of the team. God bless you tonight, and may you have a great night's sleep, and you can just turn all of your cares and worries over to God. Lay your head on the pillow. Sweet sleep. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.